allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, has everybody gotten a chance to look at the previous minutes?
I make a motion we accept the minutes as presented.
Okay, we have minutes from October 4th, 2022, and we have minutes from October
24th,
2022.
Second to approve those minutes.
Oh, and okay, so...
October 4th, I guess, is what I was...
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we need a second. Can I have a second to accept the minutes?
I will second that.
And second it by Legislator Stewart. And the motion was made by Legislator Nolan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
You probably should have the roll call, too.
I can call the roll.
Okay, go ahead.
Chair Laura Petit. Deputy Chair Dean Fabiano.
Here.
Present. Legislator Herbert Litz. Legislator Kathy Nolan.
Here.
Legislator Eric Stewart.
Here.
We have three members present.
Okay. And... on the...
You said there was another set of minutes?
Yes, from October 24th. I'll ask for a motion to accept them as written.
So moved.
Moved by Legislator Stewart, seconded by Chairman Deputy Chair Fabiano. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Use my handwriting today. I'm not ready to do with this hand.
You can have somebody sign for you if you want, Dean, and then just initial or something.
Yeah, I'll make it. All right, tonight we're going to have two presentations. One is going to be by the Ulster County Area Transit from Tony Rosser, and the second one will be from the Department of Public Works from Commissioner Brendan Masterson. So we're going to start off with the Ulster County Area Transit. Go ahead, Tony.
Good evening, everybody. So I just wanted to, Dawn is going to assist me here also, and I just wanted to start off with letting everyone know on the first slide here that our UCAP fleet currently has a fleet of 39 vehicles. Our fleet also consists of 35-foot and 40-foot low-floor diesel buses, along with 21-footers and 30-footers. Right now, we're at 7% of our fleet being electric. I know by 2030, they're calling to have the entire fleet electrified. Right now, we're running a little behind. Some of that had to do with getting parts, COVID, whatever. The build time out for these electric buses are almost 2 years, as you can see. And then our buses, the ones that we receive now, we utilize Volkswagen funding and some federal funds to offset the cost. The buses in the future will either be federal or state funded.
Tony, I owe you an apology. I forgot to introduce you as the intern.
Okay, that's all right.
I apologize. The intern director will be filling in for a while.
So right now we operate 23 routes daily and 10 routes on the weekends. Our routes go throughout the county. We hit Saugerty, City of Kingston, Ellenville, Phoenicia, Woodstock, and they run from 4:45 in the morning till 11 p.m. at night. We also service the Poughkeepsie train station, so you can catch Metro North or Amtrak. We also operate our paratransit service. It runs parallel to our regular routes, and we offer ADA transportation to qualified passengers. We provide a shopping bus daily or weekly. Every day it's a different area. Right now we're helping out Trailways with the road closures, and we're doing an extra route to Woodstock to fill in for the bus service that doesn't go out there on Fridays. We also are subsidized by OFA and state reimbursements to run these runs like the New Pulse Loop and also our Shoppers bus. Our ridership from 2021 to 2022 has certainly gone up. Last year we were still in a state of COVID. Businesses were closed. There was still the mask mandate. As of February, our ridership began going up, and I think that that's when they lifted the mask mandate, and therefore people were able to get to the doctors and ride our buses freely. That's my little narrative about UCAT, and we're going into the budget section now.
Sure. So last year, UCAT had 60 employees, and we're looking to add an additional deputy to their staff to help handle grants and the finances of the organization. As you know, there's quite a deal of federal money that flows through the place, so it's important that we always have a good hand on it. We have breakdowns for you of capital dollars spent and indicators on actual expenses. To note, gasoline, as you're aware, has gone up quite substantially. Already, we have passed how much we spent last year in those categories. So when you look down at the bottom at our total operating budget, you see a little bit of a jump, and that is mostly attributed to gasoline and salaries of the employees themselves. You see on the next page a 16.8% increase, or $1.2 million from the previous year, and that's auto fuel payroll. And there are six capital projects currently slated for UCAT next year, including bus shelters, electric vehicle connections, multimodal center, facility modernization at Danny Circle, the electrification of the fleet program, and fleet equipment and accessories. And when you think about those things, think of ridership counters, automated call-out systems, stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to add into some of the other, in addition to the additional staff member, when we're talking about finance, kind of a fiscal deputy, mm-hmm. we're also including $100,000 for in the operating budget for route optimization and scheduling. So this will involve having a consultant come in mm-hmm. and look at our system holistically in terms of assessing community and rider need, efficiency of the routes in the system. As well as our resources to be able to expand or to better provide services. So a lot of the comments that we've been collecting, at least during my tenure over the last year, has to do with filling gaps and addressing kind of transit needs in the southern end of the county, whether it's Cragsmore or at a Shongum, connecting those into Orange County is going to certainly be part of the effort. I do expect that the route optimization and scheduling to take a considerable amount of time, because it's something where you want to engage the public and make sure that you properly get that feedback loop going. So that will be a significant effort. Right now, I also have additional staff working with Tony and her staff on really creating a standard operating procedures, making sure that we're triaging in terms of hiring staff. There's discussions with different legislators about doing a grade increase for drivers from their current grade 8, which is it's very low in terms of marketability for the roles, but also to be competitive with the other bus services. Increasing them to 10 will help. So we're hoping that that will make a difference in terms of staffing overall. But really, it's to take a look from the bottom up through all the services in UCAT from an operations perspective. The other projects you see here on the capital side, some are just purely out of necessity of modernizing a fleet from a diesel-based fleet to an electric fleet. So when we talk about multimodal centers, what we're really talking about is creating places throughout the county where we're able to house and charge buses so we can service the whole county with the electric. So that's going to be a significant change from our current operations. It's also working with New York State Power Authority in order to build out the infrastructure at the existing place on Danny Circle. So we don't have adequate charging right now, so we want to make sure as we add to that electric fleet that we can actually service it and charge it on site. The other significant part, and this is going to be more on the public facing side, is the discussion around bus shelters, which I'm looking at legislator Stewart for a reason, as he's been really effectively pushing us to engage in this in a more concerted and kind of coordinated effort.
They're important.
Yes, and there's a lot of inequity surrounding how they're currently built out or what their spec is. So it's a newer effort for us, so we're in the first quarter, if the budget passes, then we'll start to engage in how to best facilitate improving and standardizing bus shelters throughout the county. To that end, I think that we'll have sufficient resources to undertake that next year. There'll have to be a planning, a design process, looking at all the existing agreements with the towns will take some time, but I think with the support of the legislature that they've given us thus far, that we're going to be able to make an impact on that. So aside from that, I think
we do have a draft of that.
Legislator Nolan, I believe has a question.
It's more of a request, I think, for sometime maybe in 2023, this is kind of forecasting for the budget, because we have this diesel fleet, which has rising fuel cost, but we're switching over to electric vehicles, which should stabilize the fuel cost, but will have initial capital expenses. So I think it would be very helpful to kind of see a chart that would show that phasing out of fuel cost or diminishing fuel cost over time. And then the cost for electric is not negligible, but it should be much more stable and predictable. And then where the capital cost of the infrastructure for the electric comes in passenger vehicles, there's not a long period before the savings on fuel and maintenance start to come back in. I just wonder where it is with these much larger vehicles. It's probably quite different, but it seems like a good time to begin to look at that if we can.
Yeah, I think to that end, so a diesel bus was around 400,000 and 450.
Yeah, it's about 450.
And now we're in the $1.2 million range for a similar sized electric bus. So
it's gonna take a little while.
It's gonna take, yeah. So like it's, and I'm looking at Don because, you know, I'm a former recovering budget analyst myself. So I'm just looking at like what my horizon, what my timeline is, and the ROI on that. So I think we run out probably 10 years on this to start to see that, because when we're looking at whether it's, I think it was 7 to 8 million potential just at UCAT at the Danny Circle location alone in order to, and that's working with NYPA in order to build out the infrastructure there, right? And then looking at the garage and how we're going to facilitate maintenance of those. Maintenance is supposed to be significantly less on electric vehicles in general, but we haven't had the experience factor with any of it yet. So that it's a lot of learning there, but certainly we can look at it, and it
becomes more relevant to do the analysis as fuel prices go up.
Yes,
because we knew that there would be upfront cost to the transition, but I think with rising fuel costs of combustion fuels, we can start to maybe see that time span for paying off the investment shrink a little
bit. Yes, and then it's also, and the other factor that we look at with any of the UCAT efforts on bus purchases or any capital is there's three sources of funds. So it's state, federal, and county. So factoring in county share into all these projects, I think, is a significant piece of the puzzle here. And we're always trying to minimize that county share wherever possible.
Great. So it doesn't need to be done in the middle
certainly,
of the season.
I saw Don taking the notes, so we'll certainly do the work on it, though.
No problem.
Great, thank you.
Our outreach with respect to other agencies that you that have gone to electric buses indicates that by the time you start to begin to see any savings versus your initial cost, you have to replace the bus.
Well, so it's one first cycle. Cycle of buses, probably.
As things, we don't know what's going to happen over long term in terms of whether the costs are going to go down, but.
Yeah, to give you an idea, the longer bus is 35 to 40 feet or 10 to 12 year replacement cycle for FDS.
Okay.
So, in terms of Green New Deal, though, and I don't want...
It's not an imperative on a cost savings basis, it's an imperative on a climate basis.
Correct. It's on, I mean, in terms of climate and just general, where these are flowing and stopping in more congested and pedestrian trafficked areas, I think the impact of having an electric bus versus a diesel bus will also be felt in short order.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks.
Any other legislators have any other questions? Legislator Erner?
Thank you. Thank you for coming, presenting, and jumping in. You mentioned VW funding. Just can you remind us what that is?
So Volkswagen, this is just when I first came into. So Volkswagen actually had to settle a lawsuit with the government.
Mm-hmm.
And they offered, it was called the Volkswagen voucher program, where for every electric bus you purchased, you would get a rebate, and it was somewhere in the ballpark of a little over $350,000. But in order to receive that refund, you had to scrap a diesel bus. So UCAP purchased 3 electric buses, and we scrapped 3 diesel buses. And there was a long process involved with that that had to be documented, videoed, and sent into, I think it was NYPA, or that had to actually approve that. And once that was all approved, we would get our reimbursement.
Going?
Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks. Has this department, perhaps even in conjunction with the Department of Environment, ever compared straight electric versus using hydrogen as the storage?
Has the Department of Environment with UCAT analyzed using hydrogen versus electric?
Yeah, in other words, storing the energy in, hydrogen, having a hydrogen tank and
There was a study done. There was a study done with relative to a resolution that was considered by the legislature several years ago in terms of buying hydrogen vans. Whether it applies to buses or not, I don't know. But I know that there was a study that looked at that with the conclusion that essentially hydrogen was not a way to go in terms of where we wanted to be.
And I can follow up with Nick from Environment to see if there was anything further done.
Yeah, I think Lamendo Laval was in charge of that
she
study,
was,
and
yeah.
So we can
carry
forward with her.
You mentioned Trailways and helping them with some road closures. Can you say more about that?
So right now, Trailways reached out to UCAP because a bridge was being worked on out in somewhere in Woodstock. So they couldn't get their big buses around it, so they asked if we would cover that area at least once a week for them to get their shoppers into town. So we offered to do that, and I think that's going to be up at the end of November.
I think that's Route 212 between Woodstock and Saugerties.
Right, is it?
Actually, it's in Shady.
Yeah.
Shady,
oh,
that's it, it's in Shady, right.
Oh, that's where the detour is.
There was a detour up there, and their buses couldn't get around it. So we send a shopper's bus out there on Fridays to bring them in, and that's a 21-foot
highway. Legislator,
I was just curious where, in the budget, the any allocations for the microtransit system?
It's not in the budget, so that's part of a competitive grant process. So we're waiting for word from NYSERDA, so we wouldn't include that until that's done.
Perfect. That came up conversation in the elevator on the way up here.
So we're supposed to find out shortly regarding, they'll make public the details on that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
VA, right?
Yeah.
Legislator Erner?
Thank you. Can you say more on the operating budget side, the breakdown we have here? there's the UCAT part, then it goes to Regional Links, Municipal Transit, and City of Kingston Service Expansion. Can you explain what those different categories are, please?
Well, I'll say I'll let her explain the operations. But in terms of the budget itself, UCAT split up into five divisions. They're labeled 5901 through 5905. And each one of those divisions is essentially accounts for one of those areas that you're talking about. It's UCAT's general operations and paratransit, and then it has the New Pulse Link, the KPL and UPL loop, and then there's the city bus, which is 5905, and then there's a new 5902 division, which tracks our fares that we still have to track those for still funding, so that's where that's going to be.
So that was actually an important distinction. Thank you, Don. So there's $350,000 added into the budget to account for fare free into the operating budget, which was usually, you know, obviously a revenue, now is an expense in 5902.
Any other legislators have any other questions?
I just had a quick question going back to the topic of bus shelters.
Okay.
When we last spoke, you were talking about how, you know, UCAT was trying to finalize its routes before really delving into the issues of bus shelters. And I was wondering, in light of changes at UCAT, I mean, how is that process going?
So we still need the appropriation to come from the budget in order to start route optimization regardless. So it's always envisioned to be a Q1, Q2 effort. Okay. And then I think simultaneously, as we work towards the end of the route optimization, there's no reason if the capital plan is passed, I can create a project and begin an RFP process for design and engineering for the bus shelters. Cool. I just wouldn't want to do full commitment on all sites until we finish the full route optimization.
Right.
And that's all. But I think that they can certainly go in the same direction.
And the real issue with respect to bus shelters is who's going to maintain them over time. Because if you have a lot of bus shelters out there, the current way the agreement reads is essentially is that there's an intermunicipal agreement between the county and UCAT, I mean between UCAT and the municipality, that they'll maintain the shelter. Because you have to shovel them, you have to clean them out, those kinds of things.
Right.
And that has not worked well in the past.
And so do we anticipate like trying to have a new agreement with the municipalities on this, or is this something
I think we have to some extent because we won't have the resources to spread out along around the county and do it ourselves. But that's all going to be part of this process, is ensuring that whatever we set up for the investment the in-county tends to make is going to be something that we can sustain.
Yes. Thank you.
And we might investigate other partners. Nonprofits or?
I don't know. I mean, in terms of the location of the different bus shelters, the logical partner is the municipality because we're all serving the same kind of residents, riders. I'm not DPW earmuffs. They're the only other operation that is countywide into all the different pockets. But if I was to move to a DPW maintain type of thing, I wouldn't put it on the highway crew, I'd put it on B&G, and then I'd need additional employees and able to do that. It's not something that, you know.
It's the snowstorms, folks. You can't.
Right.
You know, they would be weeks getting cleaned up.
I think what the towns will ask me, based on my relationship and dealing with them the last several years, is that if we're going to build it and require them to maintain these in some form or fashion, that they would be looking for additional assistance from the county in order to do this. I would suspect that to be the threat.
And do you anticipate this coming through like their like highway departments or?
I mean, that's where it comes from now.
Yeah.
I would suspect, I mean, based on most of their organizational designs, yeah.
Good discussion, thank you.
Legislator Erner?
Thank you. So, Deputy Kelly mentioned earlier about the grade increase and planning to defend that budget amendment next week, along with one to around training, which we've talked a little bit about. And anything else you would need from us in the legislature in terms of hiring up the capacity to full and
any other obstacles that you foresee in terms of getting that staff?
No, so in terms of hiring, I think that the grade increase from an 8 to a 10 for just the drivers and then going to an 11 for driver dispatchers will have a net positive impact on our ability to hire. If you look at the other private carriers in the region, they are able to offer more in terms of compensation overall. But I think with our benefits and our pension that we will be competitive. And if nothing else, our ability to retain employees, I think we're hoping will increase as well by doing this. I think it respects the work that they've done and the position they've been in, especially over the last 2 years. It's been extremely stressful for the entire workforce there. They're somebody that had to really maintain their workload during COVID. So I think in terms of training, so Tony sent me a clarifying answer to one of your questions, so I'll send that back to you. We do have in-house training. We can move, my understanding is we can move people from permit to license, right, through our training program.
So what we did now is we set up an agreement with the driving school in Kingston. So if somebody is hired without a permit, that they will be sent to the driving school. There's a cost, of course, for it, and it's a 5-day course, and then they would get their CDL. Once that's done, they would come to us. We would put them through all the necessary paperwork and training that they need to do to get into our 19A system. We do have a trainer on site. We have several other drivers that are also certified as a 19A examiner. And once they get all of their written tests and their behind the wheel, drug and alcohol, all of that, then they would be able to be trained on our routes and drive.
And then we have, so OET has been engaged and we are trying to work with them. So to get people through their pipeline over into our workforce. And that's something under Sharon, it's also one of my departments, is instead of just always being outwardly facing and connecting prospective employees with private sector employers, she's been also looking internally to us to say, how can we facilitate employment? And CDLs is obviously one of those areas. I will say that anecdotally, some of the long hauls or even the regional trucking routes are paying pretty significant on the private sector side. It's a different type of work, but if you're trying to incentivize people just coming into that commercial driving market, we have some heavy competition there in like the Walmarts and that world. So I guess, sorry, I didn't answer your question. The support you're intending to give through that amendment, I think, is extremely substantial and important to helping stabilize UCAT's operations. So for that, I hope we would appreciate the support, and I believe UCAT's workforce would as well.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other legislators have any other questions? All right.
Why the second deputy?
We're just here to discuss the budget presentation.
The second deputy in the budget, the operating budget?
Second deputy? So the finances, if you look at the other departments that we have throughout the county that have significant state, federal grants and complex funding streams, they're typically staffed with an additional financially kind of specific skill set. So that's what we were looking at for UCAT, is looking at the operations side of the house and making sure they can focus on that. And then the other person would be focused on finance. So it's consistent with other departments in the county. That's why.
Yes, ma'am.
To employ full-times, I see that right now we have 60 employees full-time, and we have budgeted for 61 full-time employees. So that would be, I would think, be the finance deputy that we're adding. Where are the 7 or more drivers that we absolutely need?
I see we're getting off track here.
Well, yeah, I don't see them in the budget. I don't see the drivers we're going to recruit.
We're getting off. That's why we're just going to entertain questions from the legislature. We don't have a forum tonight for that.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
This is just on the budget presentation.
I was speaking to the budget, but yes, I'm not a legislator, it's true.
Okay, any other questions?
So is it the case that I had understood it, that those drivers are already in the budget, that positions just aren't filled at the moment?
That's right. Yep. Okay. Vacancies are not included, they're just positions.
Okay.
Anybody else? All right, Tony, thank you so much. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Okay. And that's it for that. All right. Okay, Don, you're up. You got more here. Okay.
I'm going to do it. I'm Dean Ronowitz. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of DPW.
Rob Parody, also DPW.
My sidekick over here.
Yeah, but my question was, Brendan's not coming?
He's next door in the another meeting.
Okay. We're supposed to be here. Okay.
So. So DPW currently maintains 33 owned buildings. Total building square footage is 818,000 square feet. We also, in addition to the owned buildings, we have 12 leased locations, totaling approximately 87,000 square feet. That might go up a little bit in 2023. Road miles, DPW maintains 423 road miles. And that's 846 lane miles. We take care of 158 bridges within the county, 75 trail miles. We currently maintain a vehicle fleet of 478 vehicles, which 57 of them are green vehicles. That's going to increase in 2023 as well. Let's see. The capital dollars spent year to date for 2022 is
$13,901,863. I'm sorry to interrupt you. You were talking about the fleet, the vehicle fleet, the 478, and of that, how many did you say were the green fleet?
Green fleet, right underneath.
Oh, pardon me. I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's right. So employees, we have a total of 241 this year. We are adding 6 in the budget for next year, increasing to 247. A couple in each department. We have one in engineering, a couple at the highways and bridges, and a couple in buildings and grounds. Our operating budget for 2023 has increased slightly due to the cost of fuel and inflation. Most of the cost increase is fuel, salaries, and our supply lines, which includes a lot of steel products, which is steel pipe, signs, guide rail, automotive parts is the biggest increase.
So, Dean, getting back to bridges with new employees, how many new employees will be going to the bridges?
The bridge crew?
Yeah.
Currently, we do not have, we asked for one, I believe, one welder to go to the bridge crew. Mm-hmm.
Now, there's only one bridge crew at the moment, there's not two anymore?
Correct. Yep.
And that still rolls?
Yes.
With no problem?
Yep. Yep, they have, I think I have some information on that. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 17 people on the current bridge crew.
17?
Yep.
And just so everyone understands, the DPW consists of various different divisions. We have an engineering division that is responsible.
I understand that, yeah.
We have buildings and grounds, highways and bridges.
So just in terms of one of the questions that frequently comes up is regarding our capital program. So DPW is responsible for a substantial portion of both the buildings and grounds as
right.
well as roads and bridges. Roads
right.
and bridges, we've always been fairly well covered just in terms of in-house expertise, engineers, project management. Mm-hmm. We've been quickly expanding our needs in terms of buildings and grounds. So one of this budget also adds in an additional project manager so we can start increasing our ability to accomplish some of those projects. We have significant HVAC projects or interior renovations. I'm pulling their staff today to look at space for the DA and new judges. Yeah. At some point next year, I'll be coming back and looking at master planning for the courthouse. So we need to bolster kind of as our facilities age.
Right.
We need to bolster our in-house ability to accomplish that. I've also talked to the commissioner and others based on just ongoing conversations. We're going to, again, on the facility side, more tap into architects and engineers from the outside mm-hmm. in order to better firm up those estimates.
Okay.
These guys do their best to perform those estimates, but sometimes it is better to go to the private sector. They have their kind of finger on the pulse of that stuff. So we have corrected some long-standing ills, and that was out of last year's budget and collective mm-hmm. bargaining agreement for the MEOs and CEOs. So luckily, what was a crisis has fully stabilized. So our ability to plow and do all of the maintenance and retain employees when we were losing them to towns and other places has stabilized. So in terms of large upheavals, we feel like we're in a much better position now.
Good. Very good. Any other legislator Stewart?
I had a question about the engineering budget. So what do we attribute that increase to?
So it's an increased staff, one person.
That's the one person. Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Kathy, you have anything?
Good.
Phil?
This looks nice.
Any questions you would like to ask on this?
Come back to me.
Okay.
And they can always reach out directly to me. I'm it over there, and I can get to DPW, or just feel free to reach out to Brennan and the crew directly. That
would be yes, ma'am.
It's okay.
I'm a little curious as to why there's going to be such an increase in contracts, contractors and outside. I know you spoke, you said that there would be an increase in outside contractors, but I'm really surprised that rather than hiring people, that you're choosing to do it that way, rather than hire people within the county, especially with the it could be an oncoming recession. It would seem that I would hope there would be very close oversight over outside contracts, and I would much rather see more.
I think you're kind of misunderstanding
my $2 million increase. I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me now, but there's a $2 million increase in your budget for contracts, and nothing commensurate for hires.
So that's not all contracted employees. A lot of that is contracts for building and doing things like housing in Ulster County, is where I would understand some of that to be.
Right. I mean, it's always a balance. So when I was talking about relying on contracts, we have existing architects and engineers that will go to a pool in case we have a special project, and that's when we go to those contracts. So there's always a balance between hiring in for work we do every day versus relying on contractors. For large road projects, we will bid them out. We don't do everything internally. It's not efficient use of resources or time to maintain a workforce of that size in order to do that work. So I don't know. It's not an either or for us. We always kind of do both, and it's a balance.
Dean?
Yeah, so the $2 million, I think what you're referring to, the $2 million increase, is it says contractual and other.
Yes.
That is supplies. So the supply line, like what I was saying, with inflation,
I see.
You have bridge materials, which is steel trusses, nuts, bolts, sign materials, guide rail, car parts, all that comes out of that line. So the $2 million increase is that's.
Thank you for the explanation.
Any other questions for any of the guys from the DPW? Okay, thank you so much. for coming and making your presentation. Very well done. And we will move into resolutions. Resolution number 538, approving an execution of a contract for $90,000 entered into the County Citizens for Local Power Incorporated Department of Finance, ARPA. Any discussion?
I'll move it.
For discussion or?
I'll move it.
Okay. Motion made by Legislator Nolan.
I'll second that.
Seconded by Legislator Stewart. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Resolution number 540, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the town of Ulster in relation to water and sewer infrastructure at 114 Route 28, Kingston, New York, SBL 48.14-1-27, Department of Finance, Division of Recovery and Resilience.
I'll move it.
Okay, motion made by Legislator Nolan.
Seconded.
Seconded by Legislator Stewart.
And I'll just say for those who are here that this is the water and sewer that would go to the Quality Insight
that, quality
that is being developed by RUPCO.
Which has been talked about for quite a while. So, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 544, establishing capital project number 648, Ulster and Delaware Corridor Rail Trail, Sandhagen, PIN 8762.89, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute agreements for federal aid with the New York State Department of Transportation, amending the 2022 capital program, declaring intent to act as lead agency, SECRA, Department of Planning.
I'm very happy to move it.
Motion made by Legislator Nolan.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Legislator Stewart. All in favor?
Aye. And I'd like to be added as a sponsor as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
And if I could be added as a sponsor as well, that would be
good. No problem. Mm-hmm. Resolution number 548, amending capital project number 585, bridge structure repairs, amending the 2022 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works, Highways and Bridges. I'll move it.
A second.
Moved by Legislator Fabiano, seconded by Legislator Nolan. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 550, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $212,501.55 entered into the County Hudson Valley Engineering Associates PC Department of Public Works.
I'll move it.
Motion made by Legislator Nolan.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Legislator Stewart. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Resolution number 552, approving the execution of a contract for $88,600.
So, 551 is on our agenda, but I didn't see the amendment.
There was an updated agenda, and it is no longer on our agenda for the evening.
Okay.
Sorry
that
about
explains
that.
Why it wasn't in my resolution.
Yeah.
Back. No, thank you.
Okay.
552.
Thank
you.
Approving the execution of a contract for $88,600 entered into by the County Miller Environmental Group Incorporated Department of Public Works. This is for cleaning at the Law Enforcement Center, separation of oil and water, and
I'll move it, but I do have a question
when
we get to that.
Yeah.
This is three sites and a fairly large amount of money. Is there any chance that any of these systems can be updated in a way to minimize the...
Three different Two sites,
yes. Three different systems.
The one is a very big system. It's a 16,000 gallon well, basically. Not well, I'm sorry, but a
holding tank.
Holding tank, and the other is a 750 gallon.
Just excuse me for one. For the record, I'll make the second for discussion. We can get a second.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
So there are two locations, two systems at one location, and the jail.
And is there any possibility of updating any of those systems so that we get decreased maintenance costs over time, or are we kind of locked into those systems?
We are locked into it. We do go out to bid and we do prepare this this information with help from our engineering staff and our hired architects. But we do have a couple of more coming online, I believe. We're going to be installing an oil separator at the Boyceville substation, which is going to be in about probably 2023, which is not part of this list.
Okay.
So we do have some more coming online soon. So we'll take a look at, you know, incorporating two into one, basically, at this location.
Okay, thank you.
So I'll entertain a motion to pass it.
So moved.
Moved by Legislator Nolan. Seconded by Legislator Fabiano. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Resolution number 553, establishing a policy to require public notification of changes to Ulster County area transit bus routes and schedules. That's simple enough. Move it.
I'll second, but I have a question with
sure.
Legislator Petit. Not here, and with recent transitions at UCAT, would it be possible to hold this till next month?
Shall we ask the administration whether they feel prepared to go ahead
with the resolution?
This is the resolution to
about 30 days.
30 days notice, and then emergency.
Oh yeah. Changes. So we're currently working on an internal procedure that'll be at minimum 30 days on any change to routes, unless it's done on an emergency basis. So I would suspect that what we end up with an internal procedure, which isn't currently in draft, with all public input in the different parts, it'll be longer than 30 days.
It's 45 to 90. It will come out to be.
So I don't know if you guys wanted to wait, and I told Legislator Erner earlier today that when I have the draft that is like kind of in a shareable format, I'm happy to share it with you guys. And I think it'll actually extend out what you're proposing here.
So we want to make a motion to postpone it to next month? Is that
or just take no action, perhaps? Because I'd like to have our policy in line with what is being proposed, especially since it's a fairly robust policy that we could create.
You
to
okay
be in
with
line.
That?
I'm good with that.
Okay.
So we just take no action?
Nope, take no action. Okay? Thank you, Kat. Mm-hmm. Resolution number 554, adopting proposed local law number 10 of 2022, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster in relation to construction apprenticeships.
I'll move it for discussion.
Okay, I'll second it for discussion.
I'd like to suggest that with neither of the sponsors here and with some substantial rethinking that I think is necessary based on public comments, that we also take no action on this resolution tonight. And the gist of my thinking that has shifted in relationship to the public hearing is that I think that what our policy in Ulster County is that we would like to have apprenticeships. And so if we had a proposal in front of us that would increase apprenticeships, I would be very happy with that. The way this ended up coming out is that it looks like it may decrease the number of qualified contractors we have, but doesn't necessarily do anything to increase the apprenticeships. So I'd like to see more discussion with the sponsors and with those urging us to move in this direction to look at how we can increase apprenticeships in Ulster County, which I'm happy to support.
Yeah, me too. But that's fine.
I don't think we have it right yet to get the desired result.
You're okay with that?
I totally agree with everything that Kathy just said.
Okay.
Was there a second?
I'll second it, yeah.
Oh, I thought you had. Thank you.
Take no action.
Yeah.
No action.
Resolution number 555, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a lease agreement with Tappan House Development, LLC, for office space for the office of Ulster County District Attorney, Ulster County Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion made by Legislator Nolan, seconded by Legislator Hewitt. You had a question?
No, I can give you a quick...
Sure.
Yeah, so we're under a mandate from the Office of Court Administration to provide suitable accommodations for all judges. There's the sense that we will have a new Ulster County-based judge starting January 1st. We've really run out of room at the existing courthouse, so I'm currently in discussions with both the DA's office and some of the existing judges to properly shuffle the deck. We've luckily been able to secure this space, which is literally next door to the courthouse. So if I've moved the DA's office, which will be 8 to 12 of their employees, right, to create a new chambers within the courthouse, or if I had to, I could fit two judges in there,
right,
I would be able to free up enough space to accommodate everyone. The long-term intention is not to keep permanent staff in leased spaces. So while it is a lease for the 2 years with the three options for five, after we finish the space assessment countywide, we hope to at some point enter into some permanent agreement or for a purchase for the DA's office, because the courthouse really has to house the judges. So that's where we're at. That's why we're doing this kind of in a rush.
All righty. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Resolution number 568, amending capital project number 482, countywide radio system, amending the 2022 capital fund budget, Department of Emergency Communications / Emergency Management.
Happy to move it.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, motion carried. And this 541 was what?
Forthcoming resolution.
Oh.
It's going to be coming to this committee next month.
So I don't have to read that, right?
No, you can just mention that.
Yeah. Resolution 541 is a resolution that's going to be coming at our next meeting. So we don't need to take any action on that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody have any new business that they would like to discuss? Anybody have any old business they would like to discuss? Go ahead, Dennis.
No, I was just going to say that you had your hand up.
I just want to make the committee aware that we're going out to bid for the Kingston Rail Trail. I think that advertising either is going out today or is going out tomorrow. It's due back in December, but because of the dates that it has to be out, it won't make resolution deadline. So I may be back to the legislature with a late resolution for the award of those bids, because if I don't make the December meeting, then the earliest that I can look to award bids is in February.
Right.
And the difficulty I have is that I have what is commonly known in the environmental circles as a bat window. We have to essentially get trees cut down prior to the end of March, and to mobilize the contractor and get all of those down.
Yeah.
So I may just be aware of the fact that we may be back to you with a late resolution in December.
Okay. Legislator Ernie.
Appreciate the heads up.
Director Doyle, can you just say a little bit more about where you're cutting this down, or where that's at?
It's the old O&W corridor that basically runs from Washington Avenue out to and connects up to the trail that's adjacent to Route 209, and it runs the corridor out through there. So there's very little tree cutting, but there's trees that have to be cut.
Okay. Anybody have any old business they would like to discuss? Okay.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Motion made by Legislator Nolan, seconded by Legislator Stewart.
I will second it for sure.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Thank you. Wow. Nice job, team.
All right.